Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of August, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett from TGM and the Grain Elevator in Windsor, Illinois, will be along to look at the cash grain market. And we'll hear all about what's been happening on the last day of the Midwest Crop Tour that Pro Farmer has been running across the nation. With Chip Flory and Brian Grady, and it all happens right here on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Well, here the way the numbers settled up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. Futures in the soft red winter wheat pit down 8.25. At $6.30.5. December there at 6.40.5, 8.75 lower. The March contract down 8.5 at 6.52.25 for the soft red. The hard red finished up at 6.94.25 in the September contract. It lost 5.25 cents. December down 6.75 at $6.95 for the day. September soybean futures, or rather corn futures, at $4.80. 7.5, 10.5 cents lower. December there at 4.64.5, down 18.75. And the March corn, $4.77, down 18.75. And the May at 4.85, down 18 cents. July contract in the corn pit at $4.90.75, down 18.25. And next year's December at $4.99.75, down 15 cents for the day. September soybeans $13.22, 11 cents lower. November 12.86.75, down 17.25. January futures 12.88.5, down 17. The March at 12.69.25, 12.25 lower. And July futures 12.45.75, down 7 cents. November contract in the bean pit $11.84 for next year, down 0.25 cent for the 2014 contract. Bean meal futures at $413.30, down $8.20. Bean oil 39 cents lower at $42.43 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the October at $127.20. That's 77.5 cents lower on the day. December to $129.72.5, down 75 cents. September feeders were unchanged at $157.70. October at $160 even, down 7.5 cents. And lean hogs finished the October contract at $84.40 per 100 pounds, $1.42.5 lower for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, October at 105.2. That's a penny and, or rather a dollar and 17 cents higher. At the November futures there at $104.31. That's up 94 cents. RBOB gasoline or wholesale price in the September at 296.4, up 2.6. Ethanol trading at 230.6. That's a penny higher for the day. The difference between those two now are the spread at 65.8 cents, is a penny and 0.6 cents wider than yesterday. And natural gas trading at $3.53.7 is up 7.7. Diesel fuel, $3.06.8. That's down 0.8 cents. Gold finished at $1,370.50 an ounce, 50 cents higher for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies, and a high of 86 degrees on a light northwest wind. This evening, a 20% chance of rainfall. That'll all come before 1 in the evening Central Time, mostly cloudy, a low around 63 degrees, and then tomorrow, sunny skies and 84. Clear and 57 on Friday night and Saturday, sunny and 84 with an east-southeast wind at 6 to 8 miles an hour. Saturday night, mostly clear and 61. Sunday, sunny skies and 89. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 69. More sun on Monday with a high of 90 degrees, and Monday evening, just a low of 71. It'll be partly cloudy Monday evening. Turn to sunny skies on Tuesday with a 92-degree high. Tuesday evening, partly cloudy and 71. And on Wednesday of next week, mostly sunny skies and a high of 94 degrees. We'll have more later in the forecast, in the program on the weather forecast.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of August, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line is Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Another topsy-turvy week in Chicago. The market's been both up and down today, though. It was a down day. What'd you make of the marketplace?
Well, today was one of those days where the bear pretty well had it from the get-go. Had a little bit better than expected rains overnight at in the western Corn Belt. The market kind of finished weak technically yesterday, even though it did close higher. Weekly export sales were nothing really to blow about. And then the Pro Farmer Tour, I think, probably got the most credit for the down move today was the valid verification that the Illinois crop yield is in that 170 range, and that kind of verifies what USDA was putting out here a week or two ago at 165, and I think Western Iowa had a good yield. So I think all of that, and then there's some weather forecasters that put a little more rain in the forecast, and there's supposed to be, I know we're supposed to put a high pressure system into the Midwest for the next 7 to 10 days, but I think once you reach out beyond that 10 days, some of the weather forecasters want to flatten that ridge out and bring rain into the growing region, and nobody wanted to buy it in that atmosphere, and so we basically went sharply lower, especially in the corn market.
I suppose they just looked back at the USDA numbers and said, hey, wait a second, maybe they're right at 154, what, 154.2 on the corn. But more importantly, that the 1.7, 1.8 billion bushel carryout might be pretty close?
Well, I think that's the key. It's not, there's nothing that came out of the Pro Farmer crop tour that would suggest a much lower yield than USDA put out. And as long as you keep the national average yield at USDA's level, give or take a bushel, you still end up with a fairly sizable ending stocks level. And that's what everybody's looking at. And they feel with that type of ending stocks level, the market needs to go lower to seek out demand and maybe, you know, lower that ending stocks level at the end of the day. But at current prices, we're basically priced out of the world market by about 50 cents. World buyers can buy Black Sea corn, buy South American corn about 50 cents cheaper. So at current day prices, it's hard to get enthused about corn prices going higher unless we're going to bring the production level sharply lower from USDA's August estimate. And I would not necessarily rule that out. It's just that the way the market views it right now, that it's a very adequate supply.
Tell me about supply across the planet and distribution. You discussed the Ukrainian, the Korean corn crops in particular. They can't stand for very long, I wouldn't think. They're just not that big. U.S., the United States is the largest supplier, has been for quite some time, of corn into the marketplace. Argentina does some, Brazil a little bit maybe, but they're having a difficult time moving the crop even off the field and into some storage place that might be close to a distribution place, a distribution center. So how does it work? And maybe think about, rather than the near term, but once we start harvest process, will those other supplies be depleted enough, and will the U.S. Be the supplier to the world?
Well, it will be if it goes cheap enough. I mean, we have a good logistics system. We have good quality of corn. And if prices would go down to the world levels, then we would probably be a much stronger seller into the world market. But At the end of the day, most other countries will always undercut us. So we're, at the end of the day, we're more of a residual supplier of world inventory, and I think that's probably what the case will be. But, you know, I think, you know, when you take a look at soybeans and the price of corn, the corn-soybean ratio basically tells South Americans to plant more soybeans this coming fall than corn. So maybe we may end up with a less corn production number out of South America, and then that may benefit us some maybe next spring. But at least in the near term, the trade is just basically focused on U.S. supply production and, you know, where we're going to be at maybe at the end of the harvest. We still have a major process yet of making the transition from old crop to new crop, especially with the corn, 2 to 3 weeks or so later than average. The southern crop is coming in later than expected, so you still have some very strong front-end cash bids that will probably, I think, extend themselves probably a little further down the road than maybe people thought they were, you know, a couple months ago.
Yeah, the beans did not break as hard as the corn for the day. Is there just more left in the beans because there may be fewer beans in the field?
The balance sheet looks tighter in beans, and this is probably, the trade kind of feels that this is probably more critical weather in here over the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks for soybeans, and I think the Pro Farmer Tour did indicate that there's a high variability in the maturity of the soybean crop, even as in corn, too. But the trade, the balance sheet, looks awfully tight, especially if we don't get a good, meaningful rain across the Corn Belt area here in the next 10 days or so.
Take me through the technicals and what you're seeing at this time and what's changed again, if anything, in the last week.
Well, I think soybeans are going to end up the month of August with a monthly reversal to the upside, which I think that tells you that the soybean market is going to kind of shift into more of a sideways to higher trend. It may be smaller U.S. inventories. It may be problems getting the South American crop planted or growing that crop. It may be a little stronger demand than what the trade is thinking. But I think technically the soybean market is in pretty good shape to kind of trend more in a sideways to higher trend, even though we are in a weather market. Now, if we would get a good 2-inch rain, then that may pull the plug on some of the technicals right now. But at least for now, that looks pretty good. Corn, I think corn's kind of in the process of trying to carve out some kind of pre-harvest low and then patiently wait to see what the actual crop is when the combines start rolling, because I don't think farmers are going to sell much inventory at these levels until they know what their yield is. And then I'm not even too sure there'll be big sellers then. We do have an empty pipeline, so we have a lot of space for storage. But I think at the time being, the market's trying to see how low they can push it. But today, basically, today's losses is a little discouraging from a technical point of view. But it's they basically just have given back about half, a little bit more than half of what the advance was off of last week's low. And this could be a spot for consolidation in the market. Could easily turn higher tomorrow and close higher and not be a bad performance for the week.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today, Dan.
Very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. You can hear Dan again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org there. In fact, you'll find all of our agricultural programming in its entirety. We put it there not long after it airs on our radio station, sometimes even before. That is the case with Commodity Week. We record that at 4:30 in the afternoons each and every Friday. Our guest this week, by the way, will be Chip Flory. He's been on the crop tour, and he's with a professor Professional Farmers of America, or Pro Farmer. He's their senior editor for the Pro Farmer newsletter. Chip will join us, and they will have by tomorrow afternoon, about 1:30 or so, the final numbers tallied not only for the tour, but the Pro Farmer estimate, which is a different set of numbers and gives an idea of what Chip and company think the U.S. corn and soybean crop might be. He'll be, again, the guest on our Commodity Week program. You can find that up on the website at willag.org. That's willag.org by about 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Don't forget, next week, Farm Progress Show is in Decatur, Illinois. Come out if you can. Actually, you probably have plenty of time, is my guess, but come on over to the Farm Progress Show. I'll be in the University of Illinois tent all day long at 10:30, from 10:30 to 11:30. Orion Samuelson will be there, and I'll be helping him out, taking a whole bunch of our brokers and analysts up on stage. The researchers and administrators and professors from the U of I will be there as well, and then we'll do the closing market report live from the U of I tent at the Farm Progress Show at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Hope to see you at one of those two times, or anytime you drop by the tent. It's at the corner of 3rd Avenue and West Street. Actually, it's just about 3 blocks to the south of the main gate. We hope to see you then.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's Thursday, August 22nd. Senior grains analyst for Pro Farmer Brian Grady has been leading the eastern leg of the Midwest Crop Tour. He joins us now from near Iowa City, Iowa. Let's start, Brian, with the numbers you collected in the state of Illinois and how they tallied up.
Well, start off, let's do the Illinois numbers. 170.48 was what we got on the corn, and that was up 40.2% from year ago. Obviously, the drought problems last year, we continue to see the numbers up significantly from there. But it's up 15.3% from the three-year tour average. I think significantly we've seen that percentage increase over the three-year tour average decrease as we went across the eastern portion of the Corn Belt. Ohio was up 19.1%, Indiana up 18.6%, and then Illinois now up 15.3% from the three-year tour averages. So we're starting to see some breakdown there in terms of the percentage increase.
Well, I have a question about the numbers so far. So in the state of Ohio, we were at 171.64, Indiana 167.36, Illinois at 170.48, as you already pointed out, Nebraska at 154.93, and South Dakota at 161.75. Those numbers are all above the USDA's average, which they dropped by a couple of bushels in August. I'm wondering whether this crop is better, and I know sometimes these numbers are higher than what USDA would show or what even Pro Farmer's numbers will show on Friday afternoon, but I'm wondering if these numbers are better than you expected, maybe you might find.
Oh, you know, I don't know if it's better than what we're expecting. We saw a lot of variability in the Illinois crop last year, and I just know from experience that when you got a lot of variability, that means there's some holes out there, and when you have holes, it's hard to build a big yield. So, I think the uniformity has gone downhill. We saw a pretty uniform crop in Ohio. It got a little bit less uniform as we came into Indiana, and then much more so in Illinois. And now we're seeing it even more so as we move through Iowa. So when you get into the two big production states of Illinois and Iowa, we're seeing more holes in the crop. And as a result, it's going to be really hard, I think, to build a really big yield. Now, with that said, there's some really good corn out there this year, but there's some really poor corn as well. And it's just kind of hit and miss as we get into some of these bigger production states.
What do your samples look like this morning from Iowa?
We've taken a couple, and they're in the 150 to 160 range on my particular route. So nothing spectacular, nothing really to get excited about, but it hasn't been poor either. We've seen just more variability. We only stop every 15 miles along the route, but in those 15 miles, there's a lot of drive time, obviously, and you can look around, and there are, just skips and rows and holes and fields and yellow spots, and it's quite, I live here, so I see it all the time, but to bring in some outsiders that are on tour that don't live here. And I think it's a little bit of a eye-opening experience for them just to see that.
That's Brian Grady. He's leading the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Chip Flory is leading the western leg, and he now joins us from someplace in Iowa. Where are you, Chip?
Well, we're up in Faribault County, Minnesota right now, southern Minnesota, just getting into the western edge of the Prevent Plant area in Minnesota. We've seen some, obviously we've seen some, but the other thing that is much more important is the corn that is up and growing and the soybeans that are out here trying to produce a crop. And the beans are probably our biggest concern at this point. The reason that I say that is because we've got very light pods set on these beans. We've got some good fill going on the Minnesota beans, but there just aren't that many pods out there. And it's all a function, goes right back to the planting date. I don't know why we would expect to plant beans in late May and early June and expect a big bean yield. But there has been that expectation out there that once we get up into Minnesota, some of these soybeans would be better than what we expected to see. That's not the case. We are dealing with a pod count that's down from what it needs to be for Minnesota to build a big yield. Now, on the corn, we're looking at corn that's mostly in the late milk and early dough stage. It can make it. It can make it. But by golly, September needs to be really good. The first few days of October would be helpful without frost, too. We did get a light shower up here, but it's been very light in some areas, or in most areas. There's been some isolated heavier rains, but it needs some rain. It needs some sunlight. It needs some warmer temperatures. I'd normally say let's not push this crop at this time of the year. Let's slow cook it into the end of the year. But this one's far enough behind that I'm saying let's go ahead and give it some heat and speed up the development on it.
Take me back very quickly, last question for you, to yesterday. When we talked in the morning, you were concerned about the Iowa crop because it didn't look as good as you thought it should have, and you weren't expecting great things. Did it get better as you made your way through the day?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. And I kind of drew the short straw on the route yesterday. I had the rough route yesterday, ran up basically the middle of the state from south to north. And that area, Crop District 8, 5, and 2, is in really tough condition, really needs a lot of help. We didn't find any good corn on my route yesterday until we got back over into Crop District 1 up in Palo Alto County, just outside of Spencer. And there we found some good corn. So it's got potential, but it's the same thing that we were looking at here in Minnesota. The corn's in the late milk, early dough stage. There were some guys that came in yesterday, Todd, that had blistered ears. In northern Iowa, in the third week of August, it's going to be really, really tough for that corn to find a way to get to maturity before the growing season ends.
Thanks so much, Chip, and look forward to hearing from you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Pro Farmer's Chip Flory from the western leg of the Midwest Crop Tour. He'll join us tomorrow for Commodity Week as our special guest. We'll record at 4:30 in the afternoon Central Time and post it to our website at willag.org by about 6 p.m. Central USA.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, when we come back in just a couple minutes, we'll talk with Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Help us take a look at the cash grain market. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon, the 22nd day of August.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's National Pecan Tort Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1647, Dennis Pepin was born. He invented the pressure cooker. A safety valve of his own invention prevented explosions. Pepin also conceived of the use of steam to drive a piston in a cylinder, the basic design for early steam engines. In 1865, William Shepherd of New York City received a patent for liquid soap. The proportions given were to dissolve 1 pound of common soap in water or steam and then add 100 pounds of ammonia such that the liquid thickens to the consistency of molasses. Shepherd expected the product would be useful for both domestic and manufacturing purposes. In 1867, Charles Francis Jenkins was born, an inventor. He is best known as an early television pioneer, but he also invented the cone-shaped drinking cup. And in 1939, the first U.S. patent was issued for a disposable whipped cream aerosol container. Julius S. Kahn's patent was titled "An Apparatus Remixing a Liquid with a Gas" and was specifically concerned with making whipped cream using an ordinary soda bottle. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
This is the closing market report on a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market today, Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon.
Well, tell me about the basis in the area, what you thought of the Pro Farmer Tour and the tweets that have been coming out and the numbers that they have found.
Well, I think it's been kind of a mixed bag. Obviously, there's probably a little more concern coming out of the Pro Farmer Tour than maybe some people suspected. But then on the other hand, I think some of the yields have ended up pretty good. I think a lot of people realize the Eastern Corn Belt's in pretty good shape. When looking at basis, I haven't seen near as much movement in basis as what we saw last week. But again, I mean, there's certain processors that if you hit them just right, they're bidding way above the board or way above their posted price even at times.
Yeah, so I've heard $1.70, $2 above for corn on occasion. How long is that going to last?
Well, I think it's going to last until you either get a fair amount of corn maybe moving north or until someone's able to get in and start picking some wet corn, but that's going to be a little while.
So you haven't heard about anything coming north yet?
I haven't heard about anything.
And usually that would come up by barge, but is it possible to come up from other places that they might be able to move corn by rail some other way?
Well, I think they could move it by rail by all means, but we haven't heard about a whole lot of that going on yet. So it's just kind of one of those situations where, you know, guys that are holding cash corn right now, I mean, really, in all honesty, we're kind of playing with fire. I mean, while you might be able to get a 20-cent push tomorrow, you might lose a dollar 3 days from now.
Different topic, different kind of fire at the moment. There will be producers who maybe have corn that they need to deliver earlier, then maybe they'll have it ready.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be kind of a fun little trip, maybe 25, 30, 33 or 4 percentage points, I would think, coming into the bins.
Right, and I do think there will be some situations where people will be offering a chance for those guys maybe to deliver it with not near the amount of money invested into, you know, some cheap drying and so on, because there's a fair amount of September corn that's been sold here in the Midwest. And so, boy, this weather here the last few days has sure probably made a few people that's got stuff sold feel a little bit better about that, but by all means, if we cool back off, it's going to make guys awful nervous because it's going to be tough to get it dried down.
Doesn't look like we're going to do that through Wednesday. I think that may be the highest day we have next week, 94. I can't remember exactly which day that was, but
right.
It's going to be warm for a bit. That'll help out at least finishing the corn crop out, but on the other hand, the bean crop might suffer pretty good.
Right. I mean, what we need right now, I think, for a lot of people in the Midwest is we need a big rain and then a lot of heat, and I'm just not sure that's in the cards.
Those are two fun things to get, a big rain and a lot of heat. If we get a lot of heat, we could get a lot of we could get big rain, but they might be very spotty, I suppose,
in
the process, wouldn't they?
Yep.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn 618, fall 446, cash beans 1428, and fall 1268.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. He joins us on the closing market report as we wrap it up for this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget about Commodity Week. We'll record tomorrow. Chip Flory at 4:30, posted to our website by about 6 o'clock. And next week we'll be at the Farm Progress Show. That's in Decatur on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Come see us in the University of Illinois tent. Orion Samuelson will be there at the 11:30 hour. I'll be on stage during the 2 o'clock hour. We hope to see you then.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.